Thank you very much for your welcome. I apologise for my a bit of a croaky voice. I fear it's living with a little one that's been locked up for about first seven months of her life. She gets let out. She brings home all the bugs. I've done many lateral flow tests. Can we please start by singing hymn number 712, 712? O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Saviour and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Hymn number 712. Christ. Amen. In Psalm and chapter 22, verses 6 to 18. Psalm 22, verses 6 to 18. And no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip and shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. May the Lord bless the public reading of his word. It's read from Psalm chapter 22. And some of the language we look in that psalm, if you read right the way through, seems to be more than what the experience of the psalmist would ever go through. Even those first verses, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And this psalm is being called a messianic psalm. In other words, it's a psalm that is quoted in the New Testament that speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read those words that they said he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. And if you would remember there upon the cross, that's what they said to the Lord Jesus, didn't they? They said about him, if he's the Saviour, let him come down from the cross. They said that in the crucifixion. And one other bits that would speak of the Lord Jesus there is, they pierced my hands and my feet. It's amazing. This was written so many years before the Lord Jesus came into this world. And there the psalmist writes, they pierced my hands and my feet. This is really an experience of the Lord Jesus. And if we went down on into the psalm, we see there that he says about the bulls of Bashan. He says about the dogs compassing in him, speaking of the Jews, speaking of the Romans around. He talks about the power of the dog, speaking really there, I think, of Satan buffeting him there upon the cross of Calvary. And those wonderful words in verse 21, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. And you can imagine, just as darkness is, he comes out of those hours of darkness and he says, into thy hand I've commended my spirit. He bowed his head and died. He was received to his father. In verse 21, the last phrase is that he hath done this, and that could be translated as it is finished. And again, you would remember that's what the Lord Jesus said upon the cross. So they pierced my hands and my feet. In Luke 24, the Lord Jesus appeared to two on the road to Emmaus, didn't he? And we read that he stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? Why do your heart thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye have seen me. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. Now there's the disciples in the upper room. The wonder of that, showed him his hands and his feet, and they knew he was the Lord. You know, there's times of trouble, there's times of worry that we go through. Let us do what the Saviour commands, to look at his hands and his feet. And I want this evening just to look at the Lord's hands and his feet. So first of all, what does it speak of about his hands? Those verses when we think of his hands, I just wanted to think of that. I don't know. That's the verses that I've just read. I'm not very good at these things. I tend to gabble on in front of it. But those are the verses that we've just read about when they're in the upper room, when the Lord Jesus came to them and showed them his hands and his feet. But if we turned over to the Song of Solomon, and then the bride of the Son of Solomon describes her beloved. And this is a beautiful picture of the bride, that's the church, thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he talks about gold. He talks about the head of gold, the head of most fine gold. And that has the idea, the word there of gold, has a great store of gold, a great abundance of gold. And that would speak about the knowledge of the Saviour and his abundance. When we think of his hands, it has to do with shining. His hands are his gold rings set with beryl. And it speaks of his strength, but also his tenderness, doesn't it? It has the idea, they're filled with beryl. They're filled with beryl. That was a stone on the breastplate of the high priest. And one of the foundation stones, if you turn to Revelation, of the New Jerusalem, it's worthy of worship and fellowship of his hands. And then it talks about his feet, set upon sockets of fine gold. And that would speak of purity, of it being heated. When you heat the gold, or the purity, or the pure impurities come to the surface, and you have the pure gold. And that's the thought of it. Pure, there's a hymn that says, pure even to the feet, his walk, and all that he did upon this world. So let's think of his hands. We've just sang about that verse about his hands were pierced, the hands that made. First of all, I want to think about healing hands. The Lord Jesus' hands were healing hands, weren't they? When we think about coming to a leper. And in those days, no cure for leprosy. Lepers had to go out of the gate. They had to cry unclean. They had to be separated from everyone else. But the Lord Jesus was so pure that no contagion, again, that hymn, could touch his soul, as the hymn writer could say. He reached out and he touched him. You know, this evening there is no one here who is too sinful for the Lord Jesus. There's no one here who is too good for him, but there's no one here who's too bad for him as well. He can touch you. The Bible says we all have a disease. The disease is called sin. Of that which we have fallen short of the glory of God. And that can blind us to the things of God. And we read, what did he do to the blind? He put his hands upon him. Sometimes we can't hear the things of God. You know, it goes in one ear and out the other. You know the parable of the sower and the seed. And sometimes we cannot hear him, but to the deaf man, he put his hands into his ears. To the one who is sick, perhaps that's, you could think of Peter's mother in Matthew chapter 8. We read that he touched her and she was healed. And even more than that, when we think about sin in our lives, the Bible says this, that we're dead, that before they believed, the believers in Ephesus were dead in their trespasses and sins. And to the little girl that was dead, he went in, he took her by the hand, and she became alive. And we can know in our hearts to become from death into life, not physical as such, but spiritual death. That he who hath not, the Saviour, the Bible says, hath not life. We haven't got life. That for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should have everlasting life. That we shouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. And that's it, the touch of the Saviour, when we come to him and we say, yes, we're sinners, and we put our faith and trust in him. Again, you go on to the widow, the son of the widow at Nain who had died. He went and touched the coffin, went and touched the bier. He didn't need to touch these people. He'd proved it, then all he had to do was say. But I think it was an extra grace, the outflowing of his heart to them, that he would, his love and his compassion. And he identified with our spiritual sickness. He identified with us. And there he identified with us all the way till he went to the cross of Calvary. Those lovely hands were nailed to the cross. And then you would think about perhaps his healing hands, his helping hands, sorry. I would go to, you can think of lots of instances of this, but perhaps when you think of Peter. And Peter, as the Lord Jesus was walking to them, there was a great storm on the lake, and the disciples saw the Lord Jesus walking towards them. They thought he was a ghost. Do you remember that one? And Peter said, look, if it's you, Lord, let me come out. And so he stepped out onto the waves. And you can imagine all the awfulness around him of the waves crashing. And he looked, he took his eye off the Saviour. And he started to sink, and he just reached out. And do you know what he said? He said this, Lord, save me. That was all that was needed, was Lord, save me. And so the Lord Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him. It doesn't take very much for a human, if they're not able to swim, to sink right the way down. But the Lord, in that split second, was able to reach up and take Peter, and he's able to save you. He's able to save me. The Bible says this, he's able to save to the uttermost. And it doesn't matter who we are, it doesn't matter how old we are, it doesn't matter how young we are, for even children. What did he say? He didn't want them to be turned away in Matthew 19. He laid his hands on them. The Lord Jesus is for all. It's for all of us, from young to old. And so times of need and in times of problems, he would be always there to help him if he would just reach out and to take that hand. And I would thought of his humble hands. And I don't think you would make a stretch to come with me, and you would see there in the upper room. He was the one, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God, that the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. He was God, truly God and truly man, washing the disciples' feet. What humility is that? And Paul takes that up in it in Philippians chapter 2, and he says this: though he was in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. And there he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was obedient. He was humble. And so whatever the world's estimation of him is, you know, it doesn't matter. What is your estimation of him? The Lord Jesus, even though he is God, even though he's God made manifest in the flesh, he still loves you and he loves me. Hallelujah, what a saviour, the hymn writer could say as he thought about the wonder of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Keeping with the H's, the hold hands. And so, not hold as in hold, as in having holes through his hand. His hand that held the cross on the way to Calvary. As in our hands, those hands were pierced. We sang, see from his head, his hands, his feet. Sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? And as he came to Thomas, we read this, as Thomas wouldn't believe that the disciples had seen him. He says, you know, unless I put my hands into his the marks and put my fist into his side, I'm not going to believe. And as he came to Thomas, he said, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless but believing. But what was Thomas's answer? He said this: my Lord and my God. I don't know what your position before God is this evening. But we are exactly like those lepers. We're exactly like Peter's wife. We're exactly like that dead girl that we thought about, Jairus' daughter. That we were all dead in our trespasses and sins. But the Saviour was willing to have his hands pierced for you and for me. Heavenly hands. Where's the Lord Jesus now? We read this, that in Luke 24, he led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. It came to pass while he blessed them, he parted from them and carried up into heaven. That's where the Lord Jesus Christ is now. Here was one who, yes, went to the cross of Calvary, as we thought, has his hands pierced. But there, as he cried out, it wasn't a cry of exclamation. It wasn't a cry of exhaustion. It was a cry of victory that the Lord Jesus said, it is finished. He's now seated at God's right hand. And if we, like Thomas, would just say, my Lord and my God, we'll be those that know him as our Saviour. He's able to save us from the penalty of sin. He's able to save us from the power of sin in our lives. He's able to save us from the presence of sin again when he comes again. Heavenly hands, that's where he is. He's coming again. What is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? And there, those holding hands. What did he say? In John 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life. If we come and we We meet the shepherd, the one who is the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. Accept him into our hearts and into our lives. We read this, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. If you've come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never have your be able to be plucked out of his hand. You know, it's lovely to know. It's lovely to have that eternal knowledge of knowing the Saviour as the good shepherd and following him. So what about his feet? First of all, I thought of the Lord Jesus there with Mary. And I'm going to look at the three times the Lord Jesus. Was it Mary? And Mary was at the feet of him. In Luke and chapter 10, we have Mary and Martha. One serving at the master's feet. One serving and one sitting at the master's feet. Both jobs are needed. I'm not going to be a Martha bashing because she served. And it is an important thing to do. But perhaps after the service, perhaps after the meal, whatever, it was the time just to sit and to listen to the Saviour. Our priorities. What are our priorities for service in our things for the Lord? Sometimes we can be so busy in service we forget to meditate and to learn of him. Also, there seemed to be an attitude of criticism a little bit in her eyes. Mary seemed to be neglecting her duties. Just let us step back and take in the whole picture about what the Lord wants for us. You know, Jesus first, others next, yourself last, though, in which we teach the Sunday school joy. Mary was blessed to listen to him. And sometimes we need to spend time listening to the Lord Jesus and doing exactly the same, don't we? And then there was laying worries at his feet again. Mary comes, and what a disaster had happened. Her brother had passed away, Lazarus. They thought that they were going to be able to get the Lord Jesus to come. They sent the messenger. But the Lord Jesus didn't come. He didn't come in time. And so the disaster happened. What sorrow there was in her. She didn't say much, did she, as she came to him. And it wasn't just sitting at his feet here, was it? She was led at his feet. You know, the Lord Jesus knows what's in our hearts. He knows the joys that we have. He knows the sorrows that we feel, sometimes alone, sometimes in public. But he knows all about us. The Bible describes him, as if we put our faith and trust in him, as our great high priest. He knows exactly how we feel because he felt the same. What did the Lord Jesus do in John chapter 11? We read that Jesus wept. He saw the futility of sin. He saw the futility of what sin was doing, especially into those that he loved. He felt their pain and that sorrow of his dear friends. And he feels our pain and our sorrow. And in Hebrews, as we thought of the great high priest, we've seen that we have a great high priest that is passed into heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of need. The hymn, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. And what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You know, that hymn really does spring. Sometimes we like to bottle things up. Let's bring it to the Saviour. Let's bring it to his feet, just as Mary did. And she was answered the joy that must have been as Lazarus was brought to her again. And then just a little bit later on, we see there they were in the house, weren't they? And she brings that spikenard, which is an ointment, very, very costly. And so she took it and she anointed his feet. How much do we value the Lord Jesus Christ? Peter would say, unto you that believe, he is precious, or he is the preciousness. Is he that to us? Is that our value of him? That we are willing, just like Mary, to offer our worship, offer ourselves, as Paul says, as a living sacrifice in the Hebrews, in Romans 12 and verse 1. And what humility she had to anoint his feet. You know, it's not about us. She was unembarrassed. She was willing to go and to lay it at the Lord Jesus' feet tomorrow morning as we go into our daily lives. Are we willing to show the Lord Jesus Christ to others around? She wiped his feet with her hair, with that which 1 Corinthians 11 would talk about, a glory for her. Her glory, she was willing to wipe her feet with her hair. All that we have. And then the house we read was filled, and everyone in it. He would have been there when the Lord Jesus went to the cross. That act of love, that act of worship. May our worship, may, whether it's individual or corporate, go with us throughout the whole week. May others see our appreciation of him. Yes, she was criticized about it. She was criticized, saying, oh, against. But the Lord Jesus said, no, against the day of my burying hath she kept this. What we do for the Lord Jesus Christ and the worship that we give is for him. We might get criticized about it from people around, but the Lord Jesus loves us and accepts us in his name. And then my alliteration is not, it can be stretched a little bit. I'm going to stretch it. Lattermost winner by his feet, shown by his feet. It's a bit of a stretch, but my meaning here is he's the final victor in the end. In Zechariah 14, we read, in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. I believe he's going to come again and take those that love him to be with him in heaven. And then he's going to come again to this earth, not in a manger, not in humility, not for men to take him and to put him upon a cross. But he's going to come again in power. And he's going to come again as the final victor, wearing that victor's crown. It's going to be an earth-shattering and a transforming event. We've been and still going through really an earth-shattering event at the moment, aren't we? And it just shows what can happen worldwide. But when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again and all those things that are going to happen, he's going to come again. And if we turn right the way to the end of the Word of God, we will see in Revelation chapter 21. We see there those that love him are going to be with him. I saw a new heavens and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. We read this, that he says, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them and shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Yes, we might weep at the Saviour's feet, in this life. We might have bring our griefs and our sins to him. But in a day to come there'll be no sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. Quite interesting there again. It is done. Is it the same idea of the words on the cross? It is done. Finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst the fountain of the water freely. But he says this, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know, in a day to come, yes, we look forward, those that love him look forward to him coming again. He could say, Yea, man of Galilee, why stand ye gazing at this same Jesus which was taken from you in heaven, shall so come in like manner. But there is a warning there that if we do have not put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to do that. To come and say, sorry for my sin, to say, yes, I want you as my Saviour. And when we do that, then we will be with him. I think I'm willing to be corrected that this might be the last time that the hands and the feet of the Lord Jesus are mentioned in the same verse. I'm going to step out and say that. I couldn't find one. And this is when John, who was in Patmos Isle, he was incarcerated there. And as he was there, he saw a wonderful vision of the Lord Jesus. And he said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand on me, upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. You know, we've seen him this evening, haven't we? We've turned our eyes upon Jesus, looked full in his wonderful face. He could say, I am he that liveth. I am he that liveth. His hands and his feet, what he did. And where he walked upon this earth. I am he that liveth, and was dead. Those hands and the feet were all pierced. He died there upon the cross. But we see here, he lives for evermore. Let us fall at his feet, just as John did. Let's come and to say, yes, I am a sinner. To put our faith and trust in him. And just as John was instructed to do, he had to write the things which were given to him in the book. May we go out and to speak to others about him. Because of what he's done for us. Because of who he is. Because of those wonderful hands and his feet. And all that means to us this evening. Lord, Heavenly Father, we give you our thanks for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee that he would ever come into this world, the one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who John would describe as the Word, that the Word was made flesh, dwelt amongst us, came into this world, was born in a manger, born and laid in a manger. We wonder at this. We thank thee that there he was willing to go to the cross of Calvary. He said, Not my will, but thine be done, that he went to the cross. That he was made sin. The one who knew no sin was made sin. And that we, through faith in his name, if we come and put our faith and trust in him, may know him, one who holds us, the one who guides us, the one who keeps us, the one, our God and our Heavenly Father, that we need to come and bow and to worship and to wonder at, the one that to bring our problems to and to learn of. We pray, Lord, that these thoughts of the Saviour may go with us and may encourage us, may challenge us in our walk with thee. So we ask these things and pray them in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.